Good morning. We're glad you're with us today. If you're our guest, thanks for being here. We say it every week and we mean it. Don't go anywhere, Anthony. Don't go. You've had one to practice. Now you're going to have to do the real thing. We say it every week and we mean it. You're not here by mistake today. You're here by design. No matter why you think you're here, no matter what brought you here today, you are here by design. God makes no mistakes. And so you may have been here for some reason, thinking, well, we're going for this reason. But be open. Ask God to open the eyes of your heart. So what is the message that God may give you today? What is the word that he may have for you? For those of you who are guests, we have, in fact, this hour, we have a, this is a mic. You can take it. Here, I'll turn it on for you. There you go. Hold that, bubba. No. Okay. This is Anthony, by the way. Many of you know Gustavo. He, at this point, for those of us, for those who speak as English as a second language, but right now, they're having their own life group in the back. And so, Gustavo, we're starting to replicate. We're starting to do some other things. I sprung this on him in the first service. He was not happy, but he didn't show it. No, see, he's even shaking his head. No.
They think I speak Spanish great, but I don't. So we're going to see how this goes again.
You had one to practice, and these are very simple.
But I didn't remember what you told me to say.
Well, you're going to have to remember, okay? So usually what we do is we do it in Spanish. Just Gustavo or whoever will do it just for a moment to give them a paragraph of what we're talking about in the service today. So they have an outline. I tend to get going pretty fast, and so it just helps them get going, and now they're in their own life group as well, but we're going to do this. Are you ready?
I guess. All
right, okay. Let's go again. All right, here we go. We're going to do this again. Okay. Today, we continue the story of Esther.
Hoy continuamos la historia de Esther.
Try it again. Right there. Today, we continue the story of Esther.
Today, we continue the story of Esther.
No, no, no. Oh, man. Okay. Okay, there you go. Today, we continue the story of Esther.
Hoy continuamos la historia de Esther.
How we live, how we are to live for the king.
Como estamos supuestos vivir por nuestro Dios.
How we are to live knowing who we are.
Como estamos supuestos vivir sabiendo quién somos.
And Pastor Bill is great.
And Pastor Bill is terrible.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. You take that with you, honey. Okay. Thank you, Anthony. We are replicating as well, and we'll have Gustavo come back. There's some others we're going to start calling on upon just to help with some of our Spanish issues there. We're trying to keep Pastor Paul away from Google Translate. That's really the goal. Amen. Yeah, that's really the goal. There's no telling what goes on there. We're glad you're with us. We have been looking at the story of Esther, the life of Esther, the book of Esther. It's an amazing book. There were some, as we started a number of weeks ago, we looked at some of the contextual issues of the book of Esther. And some would say, well, Esther shouldn't even be in the Bible because there's nowhere in there that God's actually mentioned. God, Yahweh, Jehovah, is not even mentioned in the book. It's not even there. So why should it have any importance? Because it's not talking about God. But that's the beauty of this book. It's not talking directly about God. It's seeing that God is in the providence of everything that goes on around it. Stuff that we don't see, stuff that we don't understand. And you see the providence of God, how he works things out. And that though we may not see God always working, though you and I may at times have silence in our lives, and God, we'd really like to have the crop duster writing it in the sky or the, you know, whatever, just lay it down, the fleece or something. We often don't see God work that way. But in our silence, in the silence of God working, it doesn't mean that we don't see him. It doesn't mean he's not working, that he's working things together, that he's putting all things together. And that's the beauty of the book of Esther. The beauty of the book of Esther, that he takes a Jewish girl who then becomes the queen. Amazing story. And then as well, not only does she become the queen, but ultimately as we look through this, as we saw in the last few weeks, we see that she saves the Jewish nation from destruction. So last week as well, we looked at the providence of God, that nothing happens by mistake, that God has things in control. We talked about divine appointments, the divine appointments that God gives us, that we at times can have divine appointments with people that we don't even think of. But do we look for them? Do we anticipate them? Realizing that every situation we may find ourselves in, it would be easy to complain, easy to gripe, easy to, oh, but then we stop and say, wait a minute, God, is there a reason that I'm here? This is where God spanks me the most. I am just telling you, I'm kind of that type A driven, and so if I'm in a meeting for very long, or if I'm doing something for very long, I get just a little antsy, okay? And I'll be saying, God, okay, I'm bored. I want out of here. Let's get this thing moving, you know, show on the road, something. And invariably, I'll find myself in a situation that maybe I'm just saying, okay, and then God just whoops me, man. He whoops me a good one. And just, whew, you're here because of this. And somebody will say something, or I'll have a chance to talk to somebody, or to pray with someone, or to hear about their life, or to hear about the struggles they're taking. And I say, okay, God, I'm sorry. Man, I should look for that opportunity. We should anticipate it. Anticipate seeing the wonder of God on display. Anticipate you being able to step out and to see this divine appointment you have the opportunity to encourage somebody, that you have the opportunity to make somebody's day, to put a smile on their face, to pray for them, to encourage them in any way. But sometimes it's not just looking for that opportunity. The challenge for us, for some this is not a challenge at all. There's some of you in here, man, I see guys across this room, they don't have a problem with this at all. But some do, and that is that we initiate the opportunity. Do you initiate the opportunity to share with others? Do you initiate the opportunity? It may be a simple conversation, but do you initiate that opportunity to have perhaps a divine appointment take place? Not just standing back and being reactive to what takes place, but being proactive in that picture. You who are students sitting here, you say, I want to stand for God. I want to see that. Are you proactive in that, talking to other students? Proactive in talking to your teachers? Proactive in saying, hey, you know, looking for that divine appointment where you can encourage and share? Now today we're going to look really at a situation, a word that we have much to do with, and we're looking at the third chapter of the book of Esther. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. If not, we're going to be reading it, and it'll be on the screen for you as well. So let me read for you here. It says, after these events, King Xerxes, some of you will have, if you're looking at the Bible, have Ahasuerus, that was his name, honored son Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, okay? Now remember that, okay, because that will come back into play here in a minute. Elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Now remember, Mordecai is Esther's cousin. Esther's family died. She had no mother and father. So Mordecai took her in and raised her as his own. He was her cousin within that. All right? Let me go on. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why do you disobey the king's command? Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore, they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. Haman was an Agagite, remember? All right? When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned of who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. Word association. You play that little game. You say a word, and what's the first thing that comes into your mind? So like right now, if I said taxes, the word that comes into your mind. If I were to say Texas Roadhouse, there we go. All the different things. But if I said the word courage, what comes into your mind? If I said courage, now there's all kinds of it, and that's why that's one word that's really going to be personal to you. There's the courage that we have, per se, to say, okay, courage as we think of men in battle, or women in battle, people fighting. We think of courage of integrity, courage of strength, you know, courage to face that, to face an illness. There's all kinds of it. There's personal courage. There's all the different courages. If I were to ask you, what is the area of your life where you need courage in, where you need to take a stand, what would come into your mind? What is the area in your life that you need to say, I need to take a stand here? I need to have courage in this situation. See, we battle every day. The battle every day, it's not with guns and knives and all of that. It is the battle of our life to determine, are we going to have courage to stand for the king? As Mordecai protected the king Xerxes, as he had heard the people at the gate wanting to assassinate him, and Mordecai stood up and said, no, we're going to, and he let it through, be known through Esther that there was an assassination plot, and he stood there. He would not bow to Mordecai. Courage to say, I'm not bowing to you. Do you have courage to take the steps in your life that we need? We fight that battle. What is the courage that we need in our life? But see, the problem is we have a tendency anymore, and that tendency is to play it safe. The tendency of our life is to play it safe. I'm telling you what, as kids, you know, I look back and I'm thinking, at least I'm alive, fortunately. But man, I'm telling you what, as kids, I'm older. Some of these kids, they have no clue, but you know, there's a number of weeks ago we had an event here. A lot of you were here. And there's all the dirt piles in the back. We're getting ready to add parking out here and put that dirt that's out there out here where we killed the grass. That's why the grass is dead. We're going to scrape it down. Well, anyway, we were here. And I laughed at some of you parents, okay? I mean, I'm, you know, because the kids, yes, boys and girls, wanted to walk out that back door and play in the dirt. Okay. You'd have thought that there was poisonous reptiles all over that thing. You're going to get dirty. You're playing in the dirt. It ain't going to hurt, okay? But they were, now, wait, you know you're going to get. Do you realize, I thought about this week. I grew up, I know some of you will not even believe this. I grew up in the days, in the age, where there was no such thing as hand sanitizer. None. There was no such thing. I mean, some of you students carry it, don't you? You got it in your backpack. You take it to school. Yeah, see. Yeah, my granddaughters, 8 and 5, whooping it out of their backpack. Woo, here, Poppy, you need some hand sanitizer. You know, why? We have played it safe. Listen, I rode a bicycle without wearing a helmet. Can you believe it? And now I ride a bicycle, and I need to wear the helmet, and I still don't, okay? Even worse, I grew up, my dad had a 49 Ford pickup. I learned to drive when I was in the 5th grade. Some of you remember those old pickups? Some of these old pickups, they had that clutch. You push way down, but when you let it go, if you let your foot off, it goes, boom, just can't, you know, boom, makes that, there's a sound that you can only do with that clutch, right back up and hitting that spot. So that was bad enough. You know, I drove around in my 5th grade. My dad let me. No big deal. I mean, we were careful. But here's the thing. That 49 Ford pickup had a little, you know, big old fenders on it. In the back, we had a box. It wasn't like our fancy boxes now, man. It was a wooden box with a hasp and a lock, and you put stuff in it. I rode in the back of a truck with no restraints, no helmet. What's even worse is I climbed up on the box, and I rode in that truck in the back sitting on the box, even going down the freeway. Yeah, you know what? I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. You know, bird poop, all kinds of stuff. And we've just gotten in. It used to be, man, we played kickball with, and we get dirty, and I grew up with a house, and they were building a house next to us, and they had all the trenches dug out. Oh, man, a boys' playground right there. All the trenches, the pipes, and there's gunk from the pipes they were gluing and all that kind of stuff. We're crawling in there. We're playing army. Yes, army. We had guns. We used guns. Amazing how it was. You know, the best gun I ever had was this. It was a boom, boom, you're dead. Oh, no, I'm not. I got to relive. All the things. It's amazing. I still survived. And now they're finding out, for those of you who are these hand sanitizer aficionados, that you're doing damage to your kids because you're killing all the bacteria, even the good stuff. Too much hand sanitizer use. We're playing it safe. But you know what? We can laugh about that and think of our own situations where, man, we try to protect our kids. Some of you are hovering moms, you know. But you know what? The sad part of this is that the church has played it safe too. See, we used to think, and I'm guilty of this. We used to think that the world kept getting worse and worse and worse. I don't think the world's gotten worse because the very same things that we deal with today were dealt with here. Now, it may be more proliferate today. There may be many more people involved in it. But all the while the world was there, I think what I see happening is the church started playing it safe. We start stepping back. The lines get blurred. We don't want to get dirty. We don't want to cause a problem. We don't want to offend anybody. We've got to play it safe. And those lines went from a defined line. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the things in God's word where he says, thus saith the Lord, that were spiritual, theological issues long before they were political issues. And because the cry of those who say, oh, you know, we don't agree, we step back, and pretty soon that line gets blurred, and then pretty soon the line's gone. And now there's a new line drawn that you can't disagree. You can't say, this is what God says. We've played it safe. We've taken a step back. I want to look at Haman and Mordecai here because in this situation, Mordecai did not play it safe. And when we think about Haman, we need to consider how he got to be where he was in the book of Esther. He was given a promotion by the king. We don't know why. It doesn't tell us why. We do know that the promotion was fairly significant. In fact, he had the signet ring of the king, which meant that that ring, when the king, he could give an edict, and actually Haman could seal it with the wax of the signet ring, which is a significant role. All the people were to bow to him. That was given by the king. And yet within that, there's a reason. Now, some people look at this, why wouldn't Mordecai bow down? And some of you probably heard the view, if you know the story at all, that some people will say he didn't bow down, and they'll preach this issue that he didn't bow down because Haman thought of himself as a deity, and so therefore Mordecai wouldn't bow down. I don't believe that theological premise. I don't think those under the king thought of them were deity. I don't think they saw them as deity. He only had the power given by the king. And in fact, other places in Scripture you will find that people bow down. They bow to those out of respect or authority, whatever. Not deity, but out of respect or authority. That is not why. Remember I said that Haman came from Agag. Let me read you some verses here to show you why I think the real reason why Haman and Mordecai were at odds and why Haman wanted to kill all of the Jews, not just Mordecai. He wasn't mad just at Mordecai. So you go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people to Israel. So now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty said. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." It goes on to say, "Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur to the east of Egypt. He took Agagites, king of the Amalekites, alive. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed." See, God had declared that all the Amalekites should be destroyed. But King Agag, they left, and all the best of things within that. And so as he comes up here, as we find out that Haman and Mordecai, Haman comes from Agag. You don't think he knew what the Jewish people had done? The Amalekites, as the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they were picking off all the wanderers, all the stragglers, all those who weren't in mass. They would pick them off and they'd kill them all the way through the journey. And God said, "You need to destroy that people. When you move into the promised land, destroy that people because of what they're going to become." But they didn't do it. They disobeyed. Now in Esther, we find Haman and we find Mordecai. And it says that Mordecai told the people at the gate that he was a Jew, who then told Haman he was a Jew. And so now the issue went, you're not bowing. He wasn't bowing down because he was deity. He wasn't bowing down because you're an Agagite and you killed our people, and he wants to kill Mordecai because you swallowed the Amalekites. And there was hatred between them. And that's why Haman says, I'm not satisfied just with revenge upon Mordecai. Big deal. I want them all wiped out. And so then they make an edict signed with a signet ring that all of the Jews in the Persian province would be killed on a certain day. Now the story picks up, and we'll go on with that next week. But the issue here, I think, for Mordecai and for us today, is to be courageous. Mordecai wasn't going to bow. And we see that Esther is in her faithfulness in the story to save the Jews. But we also see it was built on the foundation of Mordecai time and time again saying, "I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to be courageous." I don't know what comes into your mind when you think of being courageous, but we're told to be courageous. 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." Be men of courage, be strong. See, we talk a lot about courage and what it looks like. Deuteronomy, there's a verse in Deuteronomy, let me read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It says, "Be strong in the Lord, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you." We are told to be courageous. Have you noticed there are some people that are courageous when no one's looking? You know, no one's looking, so okay, I'm going to back you. I got your back. You may go to them and talk to them. "I got your back. I'm with you on this. I'm with you on this." They're right there with you. But then all of a sudden, when the pressure gets too great, or they're supposed to stand up with you and they say, "I got your back. You lead the charge. I'm going to be courageous right behind you." And all of a sudden, you stand up and be courageous. And you turn around and ain't nobody there. Some have that Boy, that's cowardly courage, isn't it? To your face, I'm going to say this. And some are courageous only when people are looking. I'm going to make the big, people are looking, so I'll puff my chest out as the Pharisees did, and I'll be courageous now. Some people, they stop being courageous when the risk grows, when the pressure grows, and all of a sudden, I'm going to stop being courageous. But see, listen, folks, being courageous is not the absence of fear. Some people think, well, they fear nothing. You talk to people who have been courageous in very areas of their life, either emotionally, psychologically, in the military, wherever it may be, those who we see as the men of great courage, people of great courage, they are not going to tell you, I have no fear. They're going to say, no, I had great fear. But it wasn't about the fear. I had to do that which was right. I had to do and to move and to be that which was right. If you think you have fear, therefore you can't be courageous, you're mistaken. In fact, fear is the foundation of being courageous. Fear is not the absence of risk. Courageous is not the absence of risk. Man, when we have to take a stand for something, there's usually something we may risk, huh? But see, that goes back to sometimes we just don't want to do that because we want to play it safe. You mean you really want me to verbalize and vocalize my faith? You want me to share what God's done? You want me to actually say something? That involves risk. I subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know if any of you do so. I would encourage you to look it up. I think it's persecuted.com, I think. The Voice of the Martyrs, we know a lot of, Facebook and the social media, we hear about people who are giving up their life for their faith. If they have an American connection, English connection, or something with Facebook, and it hits it, and there may be one or two people that we're praying for, all these people. But do you understand, around the world today, there are people who do not make the choice to play it safe. And at great risk, they make a choice to be courageous. And at great risk to their families, there are men in prison, people in prison, there are people being killed around the world. And we live in our little bubble here because we can play it safe. And people who bear the name of Christ and take it seriously. The issue, we're afraid to speak at work or afraid to speak to the soccer mom next to us or afraid to speak at the guy at Burger King or afraid to do this. And there are those who are saying, no, I'm not afraid to speak. Am I fearful of what may happen? Yes, but God has a plan. And if I lose my life for his sake, then I've found life. See, the challenge, though, there is a challenge. And the challenge is to have courage with compassion. Courage with compassion. It's easy to be harsh. Most of us, when we think of courage, we may think of battle. And so when we think of battle, we think of, fighting. But much of the courage that we need may have nothing to do with a battle outside. It may be a battle inside of the things we need to change, the things we need to do. Courage with compassion, though, when we stand to deliver whatever message it may be, when we talk to our coworker, our friend, our family, your classmates, when you stand and when you have courage to do so, it is to be done with compassion. Mike, take us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. Verse 14 says, do everything that you do in love. Here's this great verse. Be on your guard, stand firm, be men of courage, be strong, rah, rah, and do it all in love. Ooh, God. I'm the type, some of you know me, I'm pretty easygoing to a point. I'm kind of type A. I want to get something done. My staff knows when they see my eyes start to go like this, watch out. Isn't that right, Paul? Yeah. There comes a point, and in the world or with people, see, I have to learn, I don't have the problem of be on guard, take strong, be a man of courage. I don't have a problem with that. Boy, do I have a problem at times stepping back and saying, okay, I need to speak to you, but I need to do it in love. I need to have courage with compassion. Courage with the love of Christ so that I value them and that they see that value. Courage with compassion. The challenge today is to challenge to live as who you are. To live as who you are. That point was added to this message until last night. I had a great theological input in my life last night, yesterday morning, actually. And this theological input had that line, courage is to live as who you are. That great theological input was the movie Cinderella. As I sat there with my granddaughters, we watched Cinderella. Towards the end of the movie, there is a line. The line was, the courage is to live as who you are. She was a handmaiden, he the prince. But I thought when I heard that line, the challenge for us today, do we have the courage to live as who you are? Do you have the courage to stand and protect the king? Do you have the courage to speak for the king? Do we have the courage to live as who you are? Show us who you are. Why? Because he says, listen, you bring nothing. I don't bring my right. I have none. But he gives us his righteousness. But he says, you need to know who you are in Christ. When we know who we are in Christ, when we know what he has done for us and in us and is doing through us, are we perfect? Heck no. But God is working it in us, and when we have the courage to stand and say, I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven, and I'm honoring God, and I want you to know the God who changed my life, that I'm redeemed. He says he loves me, and nothing will separate me from that love. Nothing. And that one day I'll be in heaven with him because I've given him my life. Do you have the courage to live as who you are? If you just know Christ, then just say, God, give me the courage to live as your child. I have heir to everything. Let me live as who I am. I don't have to be fearful. I know the Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, who made me, who formed me, who knows me, who says he will never leave me. Help me to live as who I am and to not walk in fear of that, but to understand that he's called us to this issue of seeing the wonder of God on display through us to this world, through us, to initiate that. Courage us to live as who you are today and to do so with compassion. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning, I know there are areas of our life where we all need courage. But I pray that today, more than anything else, we would have the courage to live as who we are. Courage to know that we're your children. If there's someone here who doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that today that they would seek Pastor Paul, myself, Pastor Mike out, that we would be able to share with them, go to the prayer room, talk to someone. God, that we would have the ability to live as who we are. Courage is not the absence of fear. It does involve risk. But may we leave here walking with courage in our life, in our testimony, in the way we live. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Great word, Pastor Bill. Thank you for that. If something he said this morning stirred in your heart, or God just been working in your heart, you need to pray with somebody. We have Frank and Denise right over here that would love to pray with you, to pray for you. Take advantage of that and just go over there and see them. Thank you so much for the way that you guys give. I know that we don't talk about it a lot, but the way you sacrificially give, and our boxes are right over there behind Frank and Denise and right in the back over there. Thank you so much for the way that you serve courageously, stepping outside of your box. Most of the times when we serve in ways that we don't think possible, God uses us in ways that we don't think possible, and it's an amazing thing to see. So thank you for stepping out of your box and for serving so well. You can hang out and see some people. We got a lot of new people here, so love on somebody today. Have a great week. See you.